Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LiveTiles Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Carl Redenbach, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It's Carl Redenbach, Chief Executive Officer of LiveTiles here. I'm currently in Sydney. I'm normally based in New York, and in the room I have with me Simon Tyrrell, our Chief Product Officer, and also on the phone I have in Melbourne, Rowan Wilkie, our Chief Financial Officer. So firstly, thank you for joining the call. We have a very exciting announcement today. LiveTiles is now solidifying its position as the global leader, the number one player in the internet software market, and that's through the acquisition of Sycle, who is a fantastic Swiss-based company out of Basel, and we are very excited to announce this today for many reasons. Today what we thought we'd do is just spend a little bit of time talking about the technology, what it means from the economics of the deal, and most importantly, where do we see the product going in the joint product vision. And we'll also then have a question and answer session. So for those that have not seen, we have put out a PowerPoint or a PowerPoint slash PDF presentation on the ASX website, and I'll be referring to that presentation as we go through today. So I'm going to start on page three of that slide for those that have got it, and I'll give you a little bit of time to open it. It's called Investor Presentation Acquisition of Sycle, dated 20 November 2019, and we have reached an agreement to acquire one of the world's leading intelligent internet software businesses, Sycle. As I said, based in Switzerland with several offices in Basel and the Swiss area, and really importantly, expanding LiveTiles market into this Swiss and German regions, which are very new markets for LiveTiles. And we think this is a huge complementary play with their technology stack, and I'll have Simon talk about that in a minute, but essentially they've got some significant additions to our product base, particularly around frontline workers, which we see as a huge market opportunity. You'll see as we talk about some of their customers, they work in highly regulated environments, companies like the United Nations, Siemens, and these sort of highly regulated entities. They're very, very strong in those organisations. And really, the other great exciting part for us, it creates a huge significant cross-sell opportunity for LiveTiles. So we can resell all of the LiveTiles Wisdom Hyperfish product stack that we have, this new bundle, and sell even a larger high-value stack to large enterprises. So that's probably one of the most exciting things for us. Obvious other points are the sales pipeline extension and a great set of people and management teams that we can include in our group. Last but not least, is the revenue and the economics. They are EBITDA and cash flow positive business, which is great, and it heads towards where we're going with LiveTiles as a business, and total revenue of $14.1 million. I'll let Rowan Wilkie talk about some of the economics of the purchase price and the deal. There's an upfront purchase price of $19 million with $6.3 million in cash and $12.6 million in stock, so quite a heavy stock component. But I'll let Rowan talk to that next. So if you flick on to the next page, and I'll actually have Simon Tyrrell here just give his short view on how complementary the product stack is between Sycle, Wisdom, and LiveTiles and Hyperfish products.
Yeah, hi everyone. I'll be very brief, but just call your attention to page four of the presentation deck, in particular. Around point number two, the scalable SaaS offering, which is the condensed product, is something that has got us very excited, and we spent a lot of time looking into during the due diligence of this deal. And really what it opens up for LiveTiles globally is the ability to go up what's often referred to as the frontline or kiosk workforce, which is the transient, casualized type workforce. Contractor workforce also fits into that, which is often excluded from the enterprise intranet install base for most organisations, including platforms like SharePoint. Due to licensing costs, due to the transient nature of those and user license considerations. So we're really excited about what that means when combined with our Livetiles Cloud offering, which we have seen uptake and interest in the retail sector in particular. And the combination of those two brings immediately the potential and of very modern way of communicating with that workforce, mobile first. It's worth pointing out that Cycle recently in the Clearbox report that analyses this market we're in, rated extremely highly around their mobile first and user publishing platform, the capabilities to that type of user base. So we're very excited by that. We're also, it's very worthwhile focusing on the regulated industries that Cycle is strong in, particularly in the Swiss and German markets. These customer bases have a specific need that is not always necessarily in line with the pure cloud model that we've been going hard at and doing very well in. So we're very excited by what that means, because those customers are still there. They're generally very large and they're generally extremely sticky in nature. So we're excited by Cycle's proven footprint in that market. And then more generally, the ability to take the investments we've made over the last couple of years around things like Livetiles Intelligence, digital assistance through bots technology, and some of the various other capabilities we have in our platform now, to be able to inject that into the customers that have already got Cycle, whether that be Condense or their Matchpoint Hub platform, and conversely, be able to take things like Condense and bring that into the customer base that we have, which now I think represents well over the 1,100 to 1,200 customer mark globally. So, yeah, a very good fit, modern technology, all built on a similar platform from Microsoft, similar development team needs and skill sets. And, yeah, we're very excited by how this will start to light up new opportunities, but also extend towards the future platform that we're building.
Great. And thank you, Simon. And I might just flip quickly through the next set of slides before I hand it over to Rowan. And I'll just point on page five here. For those that are new to Livetiles or that maybe are not sure what we do, essentially the market we have pioneered, which we call the intranet software market, and we are pioneering it not just to make it easier to deploy, but we're really changing what an intranet means in organisations. So we're calling it an intelligent workplace where information comes to workers. They don't have to go to thousands of different applications. We're really controlling that chaos. And we're bringing the user experience and the enjoyment of work tools that you would have on your mobile phone or your Apple device. We're bringing that to the workplace, really trying to help employees. So we've defined here, just for those that are new and not sure maybe what an intranet is, but essentially it includes capabilities like corporate comms, search, helps employees do their day-to-day work. And that's really what it is. And so we certainly believe that the Cycle acquisition now allows us to further enhance our intelligent workplace offerings. I think something that Simon said, which is a key point, is it is a hub. And really, if you think about every business that's medium to large has to have some type of intranet hub and space. We're now the world leaders in this area, and certainly Cycle allows us to extend that. So, and on page six, we do have a couple of key sort of highlights of the recognition. Gartner called in there. For those that don't know, Gartner is sort of one of the top research firms in the world, and to get that status we think is a really good stamp of approval, which is great. Like Livetiles and Wisdom, we're very closely aligned with Microsoft. They're a gold partner with Microsoft. They also have, and we see there's a huge potential opportunity here for active resellers. And what's really exciting our partners, particularly, which I mentioned on the last call, is our combined offering of Wisdom and Livetiles and Hyperfish, now Cycle, allows our partners to implement much higher value projects than we could do even a year ago. So that means the larger average contract values, it means more partners wanting to transact with Livetiles, and most importantly, it allows us to scale at a very low cost. So the next slide, which you'll see on page seven, is just some highlights of over, I think, about 156 organisations. And there are certainly some very, very large names there, from Roche to Shell to PwC to ABB. And one of the great stamps of approval that we have with Cycle is that they are literally working with the largest companies in the world, including the United Nations, which is one of the largest organisations in the world. So the fact that they're being engaged by those organisations, I think, is a great stamp of approval. But I think the page eight on the presentation, you'll see that's a very brief description of the two key products that Sight will bring into our intelligent intranet suite now. And as Simon noted, the great thing about the condensed product, it really opens up a brand new market for LiveTiles as far as these frontline workers, where it's very specialised that those are the sort of people either in manufacturing or retail or those sort of businesses that may not even have a PC. They might just have a mobile phone. And so they need access to their pay or their leave forms or whatever they need to do. And this is a great solution to do that. And it's a really low-touch deployment, low-touch rollout. So they're a highlight of those two products. And if I just very quickly switch through to page 9 here, you're going to see the breadth of experience. So Patrick and Matthias, two co-founders, many years, 25 years of experience in this collaboration space. Thomas Brunner, again, been with the organisation for some time. Erz, who was formerly with Microsoft, is another great person to have in our marketing organisation. And Matthias Weibel, who's the head of product development, we think, again, extends our engineering capability without us having to go and buy it or hire it or whatever. We can now include that in our group, which is a great way to continue our product innovation. So having said all that, I'm now going to throw it over to Rowan to talk us through the next few slides. So Rowan, I'll let you take it away.
Oh, thanks, Carl. Just turning now to page 10, where we give a business model overview for Sight. So Sight has a clear business model with strong alignment to LiveTiles. And similar to Wisdom, Sight provides additional and complementary services capability, which we see as really critical to serving our partners and customers. So recurring revenue is the first component of Sight revenue, and that was $4.7 million at 30 September 2019, and this was across 110 customers, which then implies an average contract value of $43,000, broadly in line with LiveTiles. So these are annual subscriptions to both Matchpoint and more recently Condensed. This component also includes several multi-year contracts with Swiss-based NGOs and corporates, as Carl was talking to earlier. The other revenue component, now that comprises both perpetual license sales, and that reflects ongoing customer demand for that type of revenue model, particularly in Switzerland, as well as project-related and other professional services. Sight's services capability, well, that supports software sales, both recurring SaaS and perpetual sales, as well as implementations, both directly and with partners. And that really reflects, is reflected in the business's high retention track record. I'd just point out that Sight also has particular expertise in complex on-premise implementations, particularly in the Swiss financial services and public sectors, including NGOs. Turning now to the summary financials on slide 11. As I said earlier, the business had annualised recurring revenue of $4.7 million as at 30 September 2019. And in the 12 months to 30 September, had total revenue of a little over $14 million, including the other revenue components I just covered. One aspect to note is that the aggregate future committed recurring revenue is over $19 million across several multi-year contracts with very high-quality counterparties. Prior to late 17, this business was structured as parallel but separate software and services operations, and in the 12 months to 30 September 2019, the business was EBITDA positive. It's already cash flow positive, but as I'll cover shortly, the earn-out hurdles over the coming 12 months also imply strong improvements in EBITDA along with recurring revenue growth. I'll just briefly cover the key operating metrics on slide 12, where I'll contrast the impact to LiveTiles just quickly. Firstly, Sight adds approximately 11% to our annualised recurring revenue base at 30 September 2019. Secondly, in terms of paying customers, broadly similar growth in customer numbers relating to that ARR, with more customers in the other revenue segment as well. Thirdly, ARR by region moves Europe's share of ARR from 33% to 39%, and that reflects the strong heritage of Sight in Switzerland and in Germany, and I'd just point out that that also reflects the stronger early adoption of internet software in the European region. Finally, in relation to operating expenses, this bridge represents an annualised December 2019 quarter OPEX estimate, which we provided in late October, So that's $16.2 million multiplied by 4. And that's compared with Cycle's OPEX in their 12 months to 30 September 2019 to arrive at a combined cost base of broadly $79 million on that basis. Finally, I just wanted to cover transaction terms. All figures I will talk to are in Aussie dollars, converted at 68 cents to the Swiss franc. The upfront consideration of $19 million is comprised of cash and stock, majority stock, and that's $6.3 million in cash, funded from our existing cash on hand, which was $56.9 million at 30 September, and $12.6 million in stock, and that's 42.6 million shares at an issued price of 30 cents per share, and that's arrived at via a 20-day VWAP prior to the execution of the sale and purchase agreement. And this level of stock issuance represents approximately 5% of Lifetiles issued capital. That stock is escrowed for 12 months from completion, which is expected on the 2nd of December. This transaction structure has a very customary post-close net working capital adjustment mechanism, and I just point out that completion is conditional upon the company's placement capacity under Listing Rule 7.1 being refreshed at the AGM next week on the 26th of November. In relation to the earnouts, now these have been structured to align the interests of Lifetiles and the vendors, similar to the way in which we've structured the successful acquisitions of Hyperfish and Wisdom in the past. These earnouts cover both calendar year 2020 and calendar year 2021. For both years, these targets are based around ARR growth and profitability. The earnouts are capped at $13.2 million in total with a 25% maximum cash component. For calendar year 2020, those targets are software ARR growth of 30% and EBITDA of at least 0.2 million Swiss francs. And for calendar year 2021, the target is software ARR growth of 69% in the 2 years to 31 December 2021. An EBITDA of half a million Swiss francs in that year. In both cases, the escrow period is 12 months from the date of issue, and the issue price of those earnout shares will be equal to the 30-day VWAP prior to the relevant 31 December. With that, I'm going to hand back to the operator to open up for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. The first question comes from Siraj Ahmed with Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Carl, Simon and Rowan. Just a few questions. Haven't had time to actually look at the products. So if you could just help out on how those products fit in, especially if you could start off with Matchpoint. Mentions enterprise intranet, and so just trying to understand how it, what's the overlap, how does it fit in with Wisdom and Lifetiles?
Right. So I might have, I'll have Simon actually product off of the answer this, because he's got some good detailed knowledge on it.
Yeah, so, hi. So there's a few key points around what Matchpoint's done. So one is that regulated market with the on-premise world, which is not a market we have been able to pursue in the past. So their product is built, purpose-built for that environment and very, very successfully. So that's of great interest. Secondly, Matchpoint Hub, if you go to the Cycle's website, you'll see reference to Matchpoint Hub. So that is a much lower touch way of getting the intranet software into the hands of users, and Cycle have found a lot of demand in customers around departmental solutions. So while we say enterprise intranets, it's worth noting that there's really no such thing as one intranet to rule them all in companies anymore. It's very much a case that there will be a global entry point or a door into the organisation, if you will, and then there's a lot of departmental and team-based access points, if you want to think about that way as well. So Matchpoint Hub is a very lightweight, very modern technology stack to deliver that, which gives us something that we haven't had to date, which is that lower touch model, which is also of interest to us in mid-market and smaller organisations where intranets are still very, very popular and needed, but often aren't at the enterprise level and don't have the necessarily the requirements that the Wisdom full platform provides us. And lastly, that I mentioned earlier about the condensed side of things, that shouldn't be underestimated, what that provides to us for that very low touch, need to deploy rapidly model, which is still part of the enterprise intranet capabilities organizations look to have, but is often not included in the classic intranet projects of old. So we're looking to disrupt that and provide a common platform to deliver to all employees in these large organisations, but also use the same technology stack to go down to mid-market as well, which is also a very large addressable market as well.
Thanks, Amit. So just on Matchpoint Hub, you said low touch, lightweight, modern tech stack. I thought Page Designer was similar as well, or is that not?
No, so Page Designer is really about building out something specific to your customer needs when you have a particular branding requirement or you have a vision of what your internet will be, right? And you are beyond the restrictions placed on you by things like SharePoint. Matchpoint Hub has some of that capability, but more focused on let's bring together the content pieces, and hence why they call it Hub. So imagine the department being able to say, yeah, we've got SharePoint as a corporate intranet that may be delivered content from the Wisdom platform, as an example there, but we need something where we're going to piece together all the pieces and we just want something, click, away we go. While the theory possible with our Page Designer product, it's not its intended purpose. It's to go beyond that and really provide a heavy level of flexibility to the organisation, which a lot of our customers make a lot of use of, but there's also those customers who do want more of a turnkey offering, which is what we see Matchpoint Hub providing. So it is literally the ability to have a single click, you up and running. Still customisable by a non-technical user, but you're not building an entire experience from scratch like our Page Designer product. And hence we see the synergy. We believe that the Intelligent Workplace platform is not a one-size-fits-all. It needs to be a suite of related and integrated capabilities that can deliver a range of different experiences for different needs. That's what we believe the future will be, underpinned by intelligence. So we believe that Matchpoint Hub definitely fits within that. We've got the on-premise ability too, which is an untapped market and very large customers out there with that. And then we've got condensed for that very low-touch, kiosk field force type user base, which is not something we've been able to attack before.
Great. And so just on content, so how exactly does it work? So it's I get the mobile post pocket internet. So is it still really a SharePoint-based solution or is it different?
No,
pure SharePoint.
Pure multi-tenant, that's not SharePoint required.
Okay, so it's – okay. And so because you do have – even Lightel has a mobile app, right? So this is a bit more faster –
What Condensed is focusing on is that issue of how do you communicate with this transient, highly mobile, shift-based, for example, or possibly in the contractor world external to your organisation. How do you still get your corporate message, the important things out to them? How do you connect them to processes, policies, procedures without expecting them to navigate through an intranet experience? And so it is lightweight. It is very focused on rapid corporate comms, both top-down and bottom-up, so the ability to have organic communications happening in that user base. Mobile-first, which is obviously critical, and by that we mean not just it's on a phone, but it's highly simplified. Our other mobile experiences are more akin to how do you take that enterprise internet experience for the knowledge worker and distill it down to the mobile device. So it's a different way of getting that information out, and the key things there are going to be speed of rollout, cost, and simplicity, and that's what we see in Condense.
Got it. Rowan, just a question. So I see the earn-out targets. Can you just give us, I know you did mention the business has restructured, but what's been the annual growth in cycles so far? Because you are targeting with 30% or 69% two-year growth. So what's the historical growth rate been?
Yeah, so the historical growth rate has been strong. The reason we're unable to provide more history in terms of financials is not just because of the merger of the two businesses, but the shift in the business model from perpetual licensing to annual subscriptions. So that's probably my first call out. My second call out would be if I link the acquisition and where it is in the stage of development. It's a fairly recent acquisition post the launch of Condense, and so we're yet to see the impact of Condense growth in their numbers, and that's one of the really exciting pieces. And as you can hear the excitement in Simon's voice, from a product development standpoint, the cost of building a product like a Condense for a Matchpoint Hub against what we've chosen to do here in terms of capital is one of the reasons for the acquisition. So the growth targets we've set to be strong but achievable in terms of the next 3 years.
And just the fact that EBITDA is not really expanding that much, is that really, you know, continued investment, or just trying to understand the lack of leverage?
So the reason for that is we wanted to make that both positive but achievable, rather than, and with a bias for growth, rather than setting a target that is relying on them not investing in product or in sales personnel as they grow. So it is setting the business up for growth post the earn-out period as well. It's fair to say that the internal budgets are higher than the earn-out targets that were set in the sale and purchase agreement.
Great. I have a few more questions, but I'll just jump off and come back in later. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question comes from Justin Pisano with BOEQ. Please go ahead.
Oh, good day, guys. Just one question from me, just back on the earn-outs. How do you manage that the earn-out target of 30% growth year on year in terms of that conversion from non-recurring revenues? Because the way I see it is, it's a pretty easy target for the guys at Cycle to convert their non-recurring revenue into recurring and hit those targets without growing the overall Cycle business. How do I think about that?
Yeah, so thanks, Justin. So the right way to think about that is you can't just put the project-related and other professional services into another bucket. Obviously, in terms of the perpetual software license sales, one of the clear options in front of the guys would be to convince more customers to convert from perpetual to SaaS to drive true organic recurring revenue growth per the definition of the sale and purchase agreement. But the reason that perpetual software license sales still exist in the world, and particularly in Switzerland, is really around a customer-driven need for either how they budget or how they run their IT environment, particularly in the financial services sector and non-government sector in Switzerland and in some areas of Germany. So it isn't the case that the team can simply flip from one bucket to another. And the growth is very much incentivised around that true software ARR growth, not project-related growth.
Okay, great. And sorry, just one more question. Is the company going to remain acquisitive going forward to that break-even point?
I'll hand it over to Carl to answer.
Yeah, look, we certainly have no short-term acquisitions on the map right now. Having said that, obviously one of the great things that Cycle allows us to do now really solidifies our number one spot as the global leader as intranet player. We've obviously looked at other fairly new competitors. As I said, we pioneered the business market, and there's more competition today, even though we're 4 to 5 times larger than the next competitor down. So we'll continue to monitor that over time and see if there are, you know, further product synergies or fits, whether it's people, product, or regions over time. But yeah, certainly nothing in the short term. And obviously what we see now is that with Cycle, this really allows us to, sell a much broader range, to upsell their customers and our current close to 1,000 existing customers, which we're excited about. So yeah, no short term.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ted Witten with Fitzroy's Legal. Please go ahead.
Hey, Stump. Thank you, everyone. A question for Carl. LiveTiles has been quite severely re-rated by the market over the past 12 months, despite some, you know, fairly good news. I think some of it might be some smart selling, but some of it certainly would be a misunderstanding of the industry you're in. And I think a lot of us would agree it'd be worth a lot more if you were based in the US, listed in the US. How can LiveTiles educate the market about the valuation of a SaaS ARR-based company, or should it look to list in the US like Atlassian?
Yeah, look, we certainly have no short or medium-term plans to list in the US. However, what I would say is, you know, obviously we feel that if we compare ourselves from a growth rate perspective, growing sort of greater than 100% and our ARR metrics. I think I mentioned on the last call, when we look at companies growing to $100 million of ARR, we're one of the fastest in the world ever. And certainly, if we look at that valuation, we think it doesn't quite match. Having said all that, you know, I do believe, you know, we've seen other successful Australian companies, whether it's Xero or others that are proven to the market and, over time that they're good value. And I hope that the same happens to us. And certainly one of the things I think, even with Cypher today, it does solidify us. It does, you know, certainly allows us to get to the $100 million of recurring revenue faster. And most importantly, I do think that we've set up now a very solid enterprise software as a service business. And I think, you know, when you're selling to large enterprises and you have longer sales cycles, it's something that the market will understand over time. So, yeah, I'm confident we'll get there. And yeah, very optimistic about how we'll perform over the next 6 to 12, 24 months.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question with Siraj Ahmed with Citi. Please go ahead.
thank you. So just looking at the customer base. So it says 110 customers are in the recurring revenue, this one just versus 156 customers. If you could just explain that, is this really the perpetual license you're talking about? The difference, really?
Sorry, Siraj, are you asking about how many customers are in the perpetual?
Yeah, so Rowan, if you look at it, says recurring revenue's got 110 customers versus total 156. Just trying to understand the difference, or is it project services the other 46, or just trying to understand the difference between the two?
So in terms of the project related and other professional services and perpetual software license customers, we haven't disclosed those, although they've numbered in the hundreds in, you know, recent years for the Cycle business. So the way in which we're disclosing and presenting the customers is to make sure that that's consistent with the basis in which we disclose our customer base for Lifetiles in terms of recurring revenue customers.
Yeah, okay. And just to confirm, Rowan, because you mentioned, so most of these customers are really Matchpoint customers, right? Because Condense is a pretty new product. Is that the way to think about it?
Yeah, that's the right way to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And clearly the selling or the cross-sell across the two customer bases is an opportunity. I mean, so out of these 156 customers, or 110, whichever number you want to take, have you looked at the overlap, and can you just talk to the overlap today?
So, no, we haven't looked at an overlap per se. What we are excited about is the combination of the teams, and we'll be completing the integration of Wisdom over the next several months and commencing the integration of Cycle as well. In terms of the cross-selling opportunity, that really is the combination of both our sales and partner teams. And that goes both ways. As Simon spoke about, it's really having a broader suite to fit the range of scenarios that customers and partners might find. So there isn't a case of lining up, or the rationale isn't lining up overlapped customers or as much as it is about reintroducing our broader product suite to partners and customers, both existing and new.
Got it. And just the last one. So just keen to understand how things are tracking for the core business today in the second quarter, if you can provide an update.
No, I think, Siraj, we're not giving a quarterly update. We're fairly early on in the Q2, and as you know, or as I want to reiterate, in terms of trading in our quarters, and particularly the second to fourth quarters, they're back-ended towards December and towards the back end of the month.
Got it. And just confirming, I mean, Carl did mention this, so the idea is this acquisition should get you to your 100 million target faster. I mean, I think the target's what you'll add around 7 million or something if the AR target is met. So just confirming that's the expectation.
Yeah, that's the right way to think about it, is that we're getting to that milestone that was set faster. And our sights are set higher and beyond that. You know, it's an important milestone, but that's the right way to think about it, is this acquisition gets us there faster.
All right, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Redenbach for closing remarks.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody. I know we've just gone over the time, but we're very excited to have Cyclin. As I said, it solidifies our place as the number one global leader in the internet software market. And I look forward to catching up with everyone on, I think, the next quarterly call, which will be in the new year. So thank you, and have a great day or evening wherever you are. Thank you. Bye.